The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashah is Parashas Ki Seitze. In the Parashah, in Perichov Dalid, Posuk Ches and Tes, we have a Posuk, Yishomer Benega Tzaraas, HaTzaraas Lishma Mi'ed V'Lasis. You should be careful not to be stricken with the plague of leprosy, and to do what you're supposed to do in this type of situation. Kechol Asher Yedu Eschem HaKahanim HaLevim, all in accordance to how the Kahanim and the Levim will instruct you. Kasher Tzivisim Tishmu L'Aseis, like I have commanded them. That's how you should be careful to do. The simple meaning is that if a person, heaven forbid, is stricken with this leprosy — this was a type of leprosy which we do not have a, and it was a physical disease with a direct spiritual cause, the Rambam says. And we have an entire parsha in the Torah that tells how one must deal with this. So one must be careful to deal with this in accordance to the halacha. This is the simple meaning. However, the Ramban comes and he says that this represents also a negative commandment, for speaking Lashon Hara. That there are many sources in the Torah where the Torah is quite explicit that someone who speaks Lashon Hara can be stricken with this plague. So it means that one should be careful not to speak Lashon Hara in order not to be stricken with this plague. According to the Ramban, this is a negative commandment for Lashon Hara. And then the next pasuk states, Zachor Eis Asher Osa Hashem Alakecha L'Miriam. You should remember when Hashem your God did to Miriam Baderech B'tzeischem Mitzrayim, on the way, on the journey, when you were going out from Egypt. And this, Ramban says, is a mitzvah asay, a positive commandment, that one should be careful not to speak Lashon Hara, because he should always remember what Hashem did to Miriam. It was both Miriam and Aaron when they spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe. Now, we've many times spoken on this mitzvah of Lashon Hara, but it's something that we always have to speak on, and especially now that it's Elul, where we are in Elul coming to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So I'd like to review some of the shoroshim, some of the sources of this mitzvah. Now, what happened with Miriam and Aaron and Moshe? The Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Bahalei Shecho, this is in Bamidbar, at the end of Bamidbar, excuse me, this is in Bamidbar, Perek Yud Beis, Posuk Aleph, that Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moshe in regards to his wife. And the sages explain that when Klal Yisrael went to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, they were told, "Al tikshoi isho shleisha shomim," that men must separate themselves from their wives for 3 days to prepare themselves and purify themselves for the Kabbalah Sater, the receiving of the Torah. After the Torah was given, so then Moshe was told to tell the people, "Shuvu lochem, lo aleichem," return now to your homes. So everyone went back to their wives. Moshe, however, never returned to his wife. When Miriam heard this, she heard this in an incidental manner from Tzipora, his wife, because when the Parsha was speaking about others that became Nevi'im, became prophets, and Tzipora made a remark, "Eile neshesem she'ilu," that how unfortunate are the wives of those, because they will separate themselves from their wives like my husband did. So then Zipporah understood what had happened. Miriam understood what had happened. So, and she was quite upset with this, because she felt that Moshe is being machmer al atzme yesem min adin. He's accepting more upon himself than one is required to. Because after all, we all stood on Har Sinai, and we all were told to return to our homes. So now why is Moshe acting differently? And she was upset with this, and she discussed this with Aaron, her brother. And they did not do this in a derogatory manner. And the Sifri says that this was, she was the older sister, and she brought up Moshe, and she risked her life for Moshe, and she loved him like herself. She was just concerned about the whole situation. Nevertheless, she had criticized him to Aaron. It says, Vatidaber, Loshin Koshesh, she had criticized him, and she had suspected him of doing something, taking upon himself something which he had no right to do, and that he didn't know exactly what he was doing in the situation. And Kodesh Baruch Hu became very angry. And he summons them, and he said, you might be prophets, there might be other prophets, but they all know me through a dream or through some type of vision that is not totally clear. But who is like Moshe, my most faithful servant? Moshe used to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and vice versa, as a man to his fellow friend. A two-way conversation. Moshe would ask and Hashem would answer. And it wasn't through dreams or through unclear visions or so forth. And why do you lack the respect? Why do you lack the awe and the fear to speak against my faithful servant, my Moshe? And he became very, very angry. And as he left, Miriam was stricken with tzaras, and she with this plague, and she had to go out of the camp for 7 days. The camp waited before she could return inside the camp before they journeyed onward. So from here we see that when someone speaks Lashon Hara, he can be stricken with this disease. But the Sifri brings out that the situation that we mentioned, this was not one enemy speaking about someone else. This was Miriam, who loved Moshe, who had saved Moshe, who was his older sister, and had the greatest respect for him. And she wasn't saying this to make machlekes, she was saying this to bring Shalom Bein Ish L'Ish, to bring peace between man and his wife. And still, because she spoke in a derogatory manner, and she lowered his esteem in the eyes of Aaron, she had stated to Aaron that he was doing was wrong and he had no right to do it, and she did not have the proper respect, and she verbalized this to Aaron. So she transgressed the Issa, the prohibition of Lashon Hara, of slandering someone. And the Sifri says that how much more so when you have people who speak things which are not necessary whatsoever, and for machlekes and so forth and so on. At any rate, so now the Torah is telling us in mitzvah zeh and leisa zeh that we should be careful and we should constantly remember what took place with Miriam. And the way that we can be careful, the way we should be careful, is by not speaking Lashon Hara. Actually, the Ramban at the end of Parshas Kitzei, at the end of this Parsha Kitzeitze, not on this mitzvah, but at the end, where it brings Zohar Eis Asher Osoloch HaAmalek, that you should remember what Amalek did, he writes there that it's a mitzvah that one should remember, just like we have to remember Amalek, Bepeh. Zocher Bepeh, we have to constantly tell over to our children and grandchildren what Amalek did to us. He writes, it's a mitzvah to constantly tell over to yourself and to others what happened to Miriam. And he said, even though really we shouldn't speak about this at all, because this is a genus, this is a criticism against the tzaddikus Miriam, the righteous one Miriam. Yet the Torah here is commanding us that Zohar, we should remember, and Zohar means prepare with your mouth. Constantly we should say over what she did. There was the Torah permitted us to do this with great difficulty in order that we should save ourselves from this great Avera. Now we also find in our Pasha, related to what we're speaking about, towards the beginning of the Pasha, in Perichov Beis, Yud Gimel, Kikach Ishisho, a man takes a woman to marry her. And the Gemara relates that this is speaking where she was already in Arusa. She was betrothed to him. And then, after a period of time, he took her to the chuppah. And he didn't like her. He ended up hating her, and he wanted to get out of the marriage. So what did he do? Some lay alilas dvorim, Yud Zayin. Some alilas dvorim. He construed a case against her that would allow him to get out of the marriage. He went and he claimed that I didn't find your daughter to be a psula, to be a virgin. In other words, what he's intimating, that sometime between the betrothal and the marriage, she was unfaithful to him, even though she had the status of a married woman. And he construes this. And the Gemara goes into the whole subject that he might even have brought witnesses to this, false witnesses. At any rate, the judges go into it to find out if it's true or not. It states that if it's true, if they find that he's lying, then they punish him. He gets corporal punishment, he gets lashes, and he gets a kenas, a monetary punishment. And if the woman is willing, then he can never divorce her as long as she lives. Why? Ki hotzi shem ra al besulas Yisrael. Because he gave her a bad name, he destroyed her reputation. Now from here we learn another mitzvah. Loshon hara is when you say something, you slander a person, even though it's true. If it's a lie, so then there's another negative commandment, which is known as Beitzi Shemra, where we learn from this parsha. This is another level in the Loshon hara. We have another related mitzvah in last week's parsha. Parsha Shoftim, in the Devarim Yutes Pasuk Tes Zayin. No, excuse me. Pasuk Tes Vav. It states, Lo Yokum Eid Echod Biish. A single witness should not stand up against any man. L'chol oven u'l'chol chatas v'chol cheta sheyecheto, for any type of aveira or sin offering, al pishne edim al pishle shedim yokum dover. But if a person testifies against another person, you must testify together with another witness. The Sifri darshans l'yokum eid echod. A single witness shall not stand up against another man, bedin in a foshes, if it has to do with capital punishment, dini momenes, or monetary laws. You want to come and testify that Reuben or Shimon, 100 rand or 1,000 rand, you cannot testify alone. only two witnesses, Enish Aguf, or you want to testify against a person to give him, well, he did something which the penalty is corporal punishment. You cannot testify alone. Or for Chiyuv Korban, or if you want to testify that a person did an Aveira B'Shegeg unwittingly, in which he would be obligated a Korban, a sacrifice, also a single witness is not allowed. You have to have two. Or Lifshlo Odom Mecheskose, if you want to disqualify a person from the status which he carries, for example, if he's a Kohen, if he's known to us to be a Kohen, and now I have reason to say that this person is not a Kohen, or I have reason to say that he's a Kohen Posel, he comes from such a birth where he's not a legitimate Kohen. So he was born from an illegal marriage as far as Kohuna, priesthood, is concerned, and this would disqualify him from being a Kohen. And I come and I tell the courts, now, one person is not acceptable, and this refers to removing anyone from his status from Meskeskes Kashrus. If you want to destroy someone's status of that being a good Jew, which there would be consequences. For example, a Shechet. You testify against a Shechet. If a Shechet is not an upright Jew, then he's not, his Shechita is not kosher. For example, he doesn't keep Shabbos, or he doesn't keep Kashrus. So let's say that I saw a Shechet eating in a Tzefer restaurant. So I come and I want to tell the Beis Din. I'm not allowed to. From my Rebbe, Reb Gifter, how do we know that? This last part that we're saying, that you cannot stand up against a person to remove him from his status. So he used to say, because it states, Layokum Erechot Be'ish, that a single witness shall not stand up against a person. That's considered against the person. At any rate, that this is the halacha. If you see a sheikhet or some other similar situation where he's doing wrong, then you have to find another witness, and then two witnesses must go to the court. See? But a single witness cannot. Avokom l'shvur. The Gemara says, though, a single witness is good for a shvur, for an oath. That means that if Reuben and Shimon are having an argument, a litigation, where Reuben says that Shimon owes me 1,000 rand and Shimon denies it, Reuben can bring a single witness to testify on his behalf, and that's not sufficient to have Shimon pay, but it's sufficient now to make Shimon take an oath to prove that he doesn't owe him. So it can commit another person to an oath, but not more than that. What happens if a single witness does go to the Beis Din and he does testify for one of these areas which we said you're not allowed to? Then the Beis Din is not allowed to accept him. If the Beis Din does accept him, then they transgress this negative commandment of La Yokum Eilechot Be'ish L'chol Ovim. He might also transgress. It's actually a Machlekes Rishenim. It's a discussion in the Rishenim if the witness would also transgress this negative commandment. But the Gemara tells us something interesting. The Gemara says that if a single witness would come and testify, and he would state it, and even though if the Beis Din would refuse to accept it, the single witness would transgress Loshon Hara. He would be a Baal Loshon Hara, because since if his testimony would do something to save another person from a wrong, then not only it's not Loshon Hara, he's obligated. If you can be a witness where you can help someone, then you're obligated to be the witness, even though it involves saying something wrong about another person, because there you're not doing it merely, you're not doing it for the sake of deriding the other person. You're doing it for the sake of bringing out the truth to help the other person. But if his testimony is of no use whatsoever at any rate, then it remains Loshon Hara. So in this case, it would be Loshon Hara. because the Beis Din cannot accept it. They cannot believe it. And the same thing outside of the Beis Din. If a single witness would try to disqualify a kohen, or you try to disqualify a sheikhet, or any of these other things, or say that Reuven stole, since we can't believe him anyhow, it would be lashon hora. Gemara brings an interesting case on this. The Gemara Psachim and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Reish Amud Beis. The Gemara says, Shleisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seinon. There are three things which HaKadosh Baruch Hu in particular hates. Someone who speaks duplicity. He says one thing in his mouth, but he thinks just the opposite in his heart. Someone who knows he's capable of testifying on behalf of an individual, but he refuses to come. He says, look, I don't want to get involved. Yes, I saw what took place, and I know exactly what took place, but I don't want to get involved. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates. That goes into the law of Leisamer al Damrei Echo. It states that you are not allowed to stand by and let your fellow men be hurt, not in accordance to the law. The Sifri Darshans, whether he's hurt bodily or even monetarily. So if there's something that you can do for him to save him from this, for example, testify on his behalf, a person transgresses a negative commandment by refusing to do so. The third thing is that where he sees another person do a hate, do a something wrong, a sin, and he comes to the Beis Din, he comes to testify to this as a single witness. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates, because one is not allowed to come as a single witness. Ki hada tuvia chota. Mara brings a case, Tuvia and Zigud. Tuvia went and committed a sin. Vasa Zigud, Lechude Va'asid Bekameh. And Zigud went and testified against him as a yochid, as an individual. Kameh Rapopo, in front of Rapopo. Nagdeo le Zigud. Rapopo instructed that Zigud should get lashes. Omalei, Zigud said, Tuvia chota v'zigud mingad. Tuvia went and did the sin, and I'm the one who gets the lashes. Omalei in, he said, yes. Diksiv leyoku meirecho bi'ish, as it states that a man shall not come to testify as a lone witness. Va'at lechutcha asadatabe, and you're coming as a lone witness, and it's of no use whatsoever. Shem rabba alma ko nafkispe. So it comes out to be, you're just giving them a bad name. It's Lishna Bisha, it's Loshon Hara, and therefore he gave him Malkus. So this is a third related mitzvah that we have. Unfortunately, not everybody is aware of this, that when you accuse someone of something, you've got to be careful. The Gemara later on brings that if you saw someone do something, then you yourself can believe it. You can believe your own eyes. We're not speaking about not believing your eyes. You don't need two witnesses to convince yourself. If you saw someone, for example, if you saw a sheikhet eating in a tefer restaurant, then you wouldn't be allowed to eat for a mishkita, see, because you saw. But at the same time, you would not be allowed to testify against him. And if you were testify against him, others would not be allowed to accept it. But you would say, but he saw. Yes, but on the other hand, this is a sheikhet. This is a man of good standing. We cannot take a man of good standing and just like that, he loses his status because of what this person is saying. Let this person come and prove it. And the only way he could prove it is le'yokum eidechot bi'ish. He'd have to come with the witnesses. And if he would state this to a Beis Din, the Beis Din would have to reject it. If they would accept it, they would transgress this law, this negative commandment. And he, whether in the Beis Din or out of the Beis Din, would be Eva Loshon Hara. He would be saying Loshon Hara. Now, as I mentioned, unfortunately, not everyone seems to be aware of this, because accusations many times fly freely, which is a very, very serious avera. Because you look, when it comes to Le'yakum Eirechod Be'ish, it means you are some in some way destroying his reputation. We have another mitzvah related to this in Parshas Kedoshim. Parshas Kedoshim, Perek Yutes Posuk Tes Zayin. It states, Leselech Rochel Ba'amecho. A person should not go around as a Rochel. A Rochel is translated as a talebearer, a gossiper. Leisamer al dam reecho, one should not stand by idly to see his fellow man being hurt or being killed. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. The Gemara tells us, what is a rochel? What is a talebearer? A talebearer, this is in Kedoshim Vayikra Yutes, Pasuk Tesai. A talebearer is someone who carries information, insightful information, from one to another. It's not Loshon Hara. Loshon Hara was where I go and I criticize or I deride Shimon to Reuven. I go to Reuven and I say, Shimon is a ganef, Shimon is a drunkard, Shimon comes from a family of thieves, say, or whatever it might be. See, that's Loshon Hara. Where you medaber gnus al chaveri, you speak in a derogatory, deriding, critical manner about your fellow man. Rechilus is where it's not critical necessarily of him. But I know something that Reuven did or said, which was, again, it might not be bad. But I know that if Shimon knows this, it's going to incite Machlekes. So I go to Shimon and I tell him that I heard Reuven say such and such a thing. Or I saw Reuven do such and such a thing. An example, if Shimon and Reuven are friends, they're very good friends. And Shimon doesn't like if Reuven is nice, speaks to a certain person who's his enemy. And I go to Shul one Shabbos and I see that Reuven is very, very friendly with this enemy of Shimon. So after Shul, I walk over to Shimon's house and I say, you know, I saw Reuven, and you should see how he was so friendly to so-and-so, the fella that you can't stand. And he says, my friend Reuven was that. Now you didn't say anything necessarily critical or deriding of the person, but you carry information from one to another that can make machlekes, insightful tale bearing. This is what Rechilus is. Rashi brings Rashi goes into length of what this word rochel. why is it called a rochel? Rashi says because a rochel is the same word that we use also for a salesman, a merchant, a traveling salesman. And Rashi also tells us that the chof and the gimel are bischalif. There's a word rochel and a word rogil, from the word l'ragel. He says it's the same word. See, the chof and the gimel are mischalif. L'ragel comes from the word meraglim, to spy. So he says a rochel, a traveling salesman, he's someone who buys here and sells there. And he's also, in a way, a leragel. A spy doesn't necessarily have the connotation in Hebrew that it means lera, that the spy is doing something wrong. See, but the rochel, the merchant, he also has to go and he looks. He keeps his eyes open on the market. Where are they selling sheep? I'll go there and buy. And where is there demand for it? I'll go there and sell. See? So that's why he says the rochel comes from the same word as the rogil, and that's the salesman. He says the same thing with the talebearer. The talebearer is the type of person that is always going to find out what information can I pick up that will be in demand by someone else. I'll go to someone else and I'll tell him, you know what I heard so and so said, or you know what I heard so and so did, and he says, yes, tell me. And he carries this information to someone else. He buys from one and sells to another. That's why he says that it's always rochil. In this situation he's called a rochil or a meragel. So this is a further related mitzvah. Excuse me just 1 minute, please. In Perek Zayin of Hilchos Deos says as follows. Firstly, he says, Amaragel bechaveirei, someone who's a maragel, this is the talebearer. Eva Belaisasya. He transgresses a negative commandment, as it states, Shinema Leiselech Rochel Bamecho. You shall not be a talebearer in your nation. Vafapisha in Lakin Aldovazer, and even though there is no physical punishment given for this mitzvah, for the transgression of this mitzvah. Why? Because it's what is known as a lavshin b'maisa. The only time a physical punishment is given for the transgression of a mitzvah, if it's done through a physical act, and here there's no physical act, it's just dibur speaking. So one might think it's a isur kal, it's a light isur, oven godelhu. He says it's a great aveirai, the gerim laharig nefoshes rabbis miyisrael. And it causes the killing, the death of many, many lives in Israel. That's why when we read the Pasuk, right next to the Pasuk, in the same Pasuk, it states, you shall not stand by and see your fellow man die. It causes shvichas domim. Go see what happens from dog. From Daig Hadomi, and you see from there what the chilas can cause. What is the Rambam referring to? Actually, this is brought many times in the sages, where we see the ramifications of the chilas. In Shmuel Aleph, Perichof Aleph. The Nach is telling us that David and Yonason are parting ways because they have now confirmed the fact that Shaul, King Saul, wants David's life. So therefore David says, Yonason advises him, you must flee immediately. So Vayoka Bayilach. So David left. And he left, the danger was so imminent that he could not, they were in the field, he could not even return home to pack up and to take anything necessary along. He just ran from wherever he was. So he went without food, without weapons, without people. And he came to a city called Nov. Vayavai David Nova El Achimelech HaKohen. And this was a city of Kahanim. And the head of the city was Achimelech. And when Achimelech saw David come, and he came without people, and he came with nothing, Vayechrad Achimelech likras David. So he took a fear, and he says, "Why have you come alone?" And so forth and so on. Because David was the Chasan HaMelech. He was the son-in-law of the king. And he was an Odom Nichbod. He was a very, very noble person, even at that time. So David didn't want to involve him in what was going on between him and his father-in-law Shaul. So he told him a story. He says, "Look, I have to go immediately on a mission for the king. And I've sent a whole group of my soldiers and so forth up ahead. And it's a very secretive mission, and I didn't even have a chance to bring anything along, and I had to go immediately. The king sent me immediately," and so forth and so on. So he says, "Vatom ma'yesh tachas yotcho." He says, "Do you have something you can give me? Do you have 5 loaves of bread or something that you can give me?" So Achimelech said, "I'll do whatever I can." So he gave him bread. Then he said, "Do you have some weapons?" "I didn't even have time to take weapons." He had there, he said, he had there the sword of Goliath. That David, as a young child, killed that giant, Goliath. He says, "That I have." And he gave it to him. And then David went on his way. Meanwhile, it states, Vishom ish me'avdei Shaul. There was a person present from the loyal servants of Shaul. And his name was Doeg Ha'adomi. Abir Haroim. He was Abir Haroim. Rashi brings Ab Beis Din, the great Talmud Chacham. And he was Ab Beis Din, the head of the Beis Din of Shaul. And he was there. Now, the time goes on. So David went. Time goes on, and Shaul is searching for David. And he can't find him. And he's getting very, very frustrated. And he wanted him destroyed because he knew, he had known that his successor will be David, and he did not want David to be the successor. He wanted his son Yonasan to be the successor. And in frustration, in Perekhov Beis, Pasuk Zayin, Pasuk Ches, so Shaul tells all of his servants, he says, "What's going on?" He says, "Are you all in cahoots with Ben Yishai, with David, the son of Yishai? As he promised you, vineyards and fields. I can't get any information from any of you. Nobody has told me where he's hiding out. Have you all turned against me?" Vayar Doeg Ha'adomi. So Doeg Ha'adomi said, "Re'isi as Ben Yishai bar Neva. I saw Ben Yishai come to the city of Nob, El Achimelech Ben Achitov. To Achimelech. Vayishal lei ba'ashem v'tzeidu nosan lei. V'ischerev golias aplishti nosan lei." He asked for provisions, and they gave him bread, and they gave him the sword of Golias. Now, what he said about Achimelech was not derogatory at all. As far as Achimelech was concerned, Achimelech thought he was doing the greatest service to the king. And if you would have asked him, he would have said so. So he was not saying anything derogatory, therefore it's not Lashon Hara. But he was passing on information that was explosive. He knew information that, given to the right party, given to Shaul, this information is explosive. Vayishlach HaMelech Likra Yasachi Melech Ben Achitu Vakahin. So the king sent the summons Achimelech and all of the Kahanim of that city, and they all came to the king, and he said, "Why have you bonded yourself to Ben Yishai? Why have you given him bread and swords? Don't you know that he is my enemy and I am pursuing him?" And Achimelech said, "Who is more precious to the king than David? Who's more faithful to the king than David? The son-in-law of the king? Nechbad beveisecho." Chalilo, he says, that we should do something that the king wouldn't want us to do. See, here again, he
he says, what I did was the greatest mitzvah, I thought. And Shaul became furious, and he said, Maus Tomus Achimelech, Atov Echol Beis Avicho, you shall die, and your whole father's house shall die. And the king said to his soldiers, he says, kill all of them, because they helped David. The soldiers refused to listen, even though that one is obligated to listen to the king. If he doesn't listen to the king, according to the Din Torah, according to the law of the Torah, it's his life, it's his head. Rashi brings from the Chazal that it states, Kol Isha Sheyamra Aspicha, the beginning of Yeshua, says that any person that will not listen to Yeshua, to the king, he will be guilty with his life. Ach, but he has to listen to Hashem first. That's only if it's not a Devar Aveira. But if it's a Devar Aveira to do something that's an Aveira, then he's not allowed to listen to the king. This was innocent blood. They refused to kill him, kill the people. Vayema Melech Ledoeg. So the king turned to Doeg and he said, Save Atah Ufgab Kahanim. You go and kill them. Now here the word Doeg is changed. Instead of saying Doeg, it's written Doeg. So Rashi brings Nishtanishmai. His name became changed. Amalei Nitfasto Kidag. He says, you are caught. Shaul told Doeg, you are now caught in a trap like a fish. Atah Hishamto Aleihem Atah Haregesom. You are the one who spoke Lashon Hara Chilus on them. You are the one that should, has to kill them. So he told Doeg to Vayifkahu Bekahanim. So he went and he killed them. Vayomas Beimahu Shmeinu Vechamisha Ish Nese Eifed Bad. And that day he killed 75 Kohanim. Then there is no here Kohanim Hikol of Hicherev. And then the whole city they killed by the sword. Every man, woman, child, and all of the animals. Vayimolei ben echod l'Achimelech. One son of Achimelech survived. Ushmo Evyosor. His name was Evyosor Vayivrach Achrei David. And he ran to David's camp. And he told David what happened. And David said to Evyosor, Yodati Bayomahu Kishom Deiga Adoimi. He says, I knew Doeg was there that day, and he saw what was happening, and I was worried that he would be the one that perhaps would tell Shaul. And then David was broken. He says, it was through me your entire father's house was destroyed. So he said, Shvayiti, you'll stay with me, Al Tiro. He says, whoever will come after your life will have to take my life. You will be with me. So now we see what the Rambam in a different light, what the Rambam is telling us there. He says that even though this was of no does not carry a physical punishment, he says, don't think this is a small avera, because gein laharig nefoshes rabbis Mishrael, this could cause the death of many, many nefoshes. L'kach nismach le'ilaysam adam rechot se'elamad ma'ira le'doeg adomi. Go and learn from Doeg Adomi. From here, the Meforshim bring, see, that we see that even though what you're saying is true, and even though what you're saying is not derogatory, because it wasn't anything that Achimelech was ashamed of. Nevertheless, it's explosive information. One is not the Tzurchivas. And through this he can kill many, many people. The Rambam follows. He says, who is a Rochel? Someone who carries information from one to the other. And he says, this is what so-and-so did. This is what he said about you. Even though it's emes, he's a machri v'sa'olam. He destroys the world. Then he says, Yeshavim Godel Mizeh Amiyad. There's a greater Avera than this. This is also inclusive in this commandment. V'hu Lashon Hora. This is Lashon Hara. Gvura masapi bignus chavere. And this is about someone, this is someone who speaks derogatory of his fellow man to another person. Afopisha emer emes, even though it's true. Now the Rambam holds that Lashon Hara is a greater avera than mechilus. Secondly, we see the Rambam learns them both from the same negative commandment, because he only brings one. He brings Leiselich Rachel, and he says Lashon Hara is bechlal this. Lashon Hara is inclusive in this. It's not like the Ramban. The Ramban learns this two separate sources. He learns that Leiselich Rachel refers to tail-bearing, and Zohar by Miriam, Ishomelecho, and Zohar, that refers to Lashon Hara. They have two separate sources. Another interesting thing is that Ravid comes along and he says he doesn't agree with the Rambam when the Rambam says Lashon Hara is more stringent than Vechilus, than tail-bearing. He holds vice versa. Tail-bearing is more stringent than Lashon Hara. He says why? Because tail-bearing, Lashon Hara, he says, the Gemara says that it can kill three people. So the Ravid learns that refer to Vechilus. He says Vechilus can kill at least three people. Why? Because when you bring this information of Reuben to Shimon, so Shimon can go and kill Reuben because of it. Reuben's relatives will go and kill Shimon. And then both of them will come and they'll kill the one who carried the information to them. But by Lashon Hara, he says, it can only kill two. Because when you say something bad to another person, about another person, to a third party, so when that person heard that what you said about him, he'll go kill you, his relatives will kill the other. The one it was said to, they won't do anything to. Because what did he do? So the Ravid holds that Vechilus is even more stringent than Lashon Hara, but the Rambam holds Lashon Hara is more. Now, so the Rambam had brought Vechilus and Lashon Hara. Now he goes a step further. He says, all of this is if it's true. Avareim is Shekir. But if it's not true, Nikra Meitzi Shemer Al Chaveri. Now there's an additional, besides being Lashon Hara, but it's Meitzi Shemer. Like what we brought from our Parsha. You're falsifying a slander against him. I think we have a very prominent advocate in the audience. I think according to civil law, that if you print something about someone that's very derogatory, but if it's true, then they can, then it's all right. I think they can only hold a case against you if it's not true. Is that correct? Yeah, okay. So in other words, it doesn't bother them with the Lashon Hara if it's Meitzi Shemra. See, if it's a falsification, then they can hold the case against you. But as far as the Torah is concerned, there's no difference. If it's true, it's Lashon Hara. If it's false, then it becomes Lashon Hara and Meitzi Shemra. The Maral brings that he says that sometimes, from one angle, from one aspect, if it's false, it's worse than if it's true. But from another aspect, if it's true, it's worse than it's false. Than if it's false. Why? First aspect is that you're falsifying a slander against a person's reputation. This is worse than saying something that's true. But from the other aspect, it's not as bad than saying something is true. For example, let's say someone was a criminal. He served the jail sentence. Now he's going straight. He's living a straight life and he's got a good job. And you go start to spread around about his reputation. If it was false, he says, shikra lekoi. People will investigate. They'll find out it's false. So they found out that it's fraudulent, it's a falsification, and forget about it. But if it's true, it states kushta koi, the truth you can't do away with. In other words, when you say something false about a person, that can't last, because anything that's false is eventually going to fade away. But when you slander a person with the truth, in other words, you reveal something about his past that is true, once that's revealed, that'll be there forever. So from the other aspect, he says that Lashon Hara, when it's true, is even worse than when it's false, than when it's Maitzi Shemra. Then the Rambam goes a step further. So now the Rambam has mentioned three: Rechilas, Lashon Hara, and Maitzi Shemra. Then the Rambam goes a step further, and he says, Aval Baal Lashon Hara, that's a person who sits and says, this is what Reuben did, this is what his fathers did, his father was sat in jail, this is what I heard about him, and he says dvorim, derogatory things about a person. Hashem will cut off a person like that. In other words, it's an isha koresh. He will be cut off. Now what is he adding? So the Kesef Mishnah explains, till now we've been speaking about people that do these things. They're not habitual slanderers. They do these things once in a while. So it still can be hating nefoshes rabbis. Doesn't mean that Dog Adomi made a practice of doing this. And we still see the ramifications. But now we have another type of person, and that's what the Rambam calls a Baal Lashon Hara. You find people, unfortunately, that habitually are always sitting and always talking and always gossiping, and they are destroying people when they talk. They talk it together with other people. They get together at tea parties, at card parties, whatever it might be, or on the telephone. So this Rambam refers to as Baal Lashon Hara. This is someone, Zeshe Yoshev, this is someone who habitually does it. And this is brought enormous chamuras, chumras, enormous severe punishments. For example, here he brings chorus. That person is cut off. Immediately after, he says, there are three averes where a person, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, comes and punishes in this world for it, and he loses, heaven forbid, his chelik, his portion in the world to come. Averes chovim, gil arayish v'chazdomim, idolatry, immorality, adultery and incest, and murder. Lashon hara keneged kulam. Lashon hara equals all three. So there he's referring to the Baal Lashon hara. Or he says, kol ha-mesapel Lashon hara kilu kefir bi'ikar. Someone who speaks Lashon hara is as if he's kefir bi'ikar, he denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the Baal Lashon hara. So that's the fourth one. And that's how the Kesef Mishnah explains. So we see from here, the Kesef Mishnah says that we have four categories. First category is the rochel, the talebearer. The second category is the one who speaks Lashon Hara, but it's true. The third category is one who falsifies the slander, that's Maitzi Shemra. And the fourth category is the Baal Lashon Hara, the habitual speaker of Lashon Hara, or of these things, or of Rechilos. One important point that the Rambam says immediately after, Hamakabla Yesem Mina Emrei, that one shouldn't think that the Avera is merely on the one who speaks it, but it's equal Avera or more on the one who hears it. Hearing means if you accept it, that you listened and you believe it. When you hear it and believe it, then that person is also a guilty party to this. One final note. The Rambam summarizes and states, "Kol elu heim balei loshen hora." All of these balei loshen hora that we refer to, "Shoasa lo dor bishkunasam." One is not allowed to live in their neighborhoods. "Kol shkein leishev imohem b'lishmaya divrehem," and "Kol shkein," and even more so, to sit together with them and hear their words. "V'le nektem zardin al vaseinu." And the whole decree that was made on our fathers in the desert that they should die in the desert, not go into Eretz Yisrael, that was only on Lashon Hara. Every other thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was willing to waive. But on this, that they spoke Lashon Hara, and the Gemara says it wasn't because they spoke Lashon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, if that's what they spoke on Eitzim Barbonim, on wood and stone, how much more so is it that they spoke to speak against people? Now,
how do you protect society?
So what are you referring to?
If a guy's a murderer, it's Lashon Hara.
No.
Emes and Mishpot and Stockholm, I believe it's a Messiah.
Well, look, we're referring to Lashon Hara, in which the intent is to slander and deride the other person. See, this is what we've been referring to. Where the intent is not to deride or slander or destroy the reputation of another person, that's not the intent. But rather the intent, for example, you know someone that happens to be a thief, and someone calls you up and he says, you know he's a thief, he worked for you and he stole from you. Someone calls you up and they say so-and-so is applying for a job. He says he worked for you. Say, can you give me a recommendation? So there, I'm not interested in destroying a person's reputation. I'm not interested in deriding him. I don't even want to talk about him. I don't want to see him. But on the other hand, I am confronted with a situation, like you said, leisamer al dam reecho. If I don't say something about him, then I am going to, in an indirect manner, cause harm to another person. See? All right. Now that is, in such a situation, you are, not only are you allowed, but you're obligated to tell the person, in order to be matzal him, in order to save him. The Chofetz Chaim, Zichron Livracha, has a sefer Chofetz Chaim. And this, he has a separate chapter, when one is not only allowed, but obligated to speak Lashon Hara. He has a separate chapter, both in regards to Lashon Hara, and another separate chapter in regards to Rechilos. See? When one is obligated to. In such a case, you will be obligated. Same thing, for example, a shidduch. You know of a person, and he's got a lot of very serious bad points. And someone now calls and says, look, their daughter is interested in this person, or vice versa, and I know you know him. Can you tell us something about him? And if I would say, look, he's the greatest fellow on earth, get married. You are misleading someone, and that's leisamer al dam reecho. But the Chofetz Chaim writes there are, I believe, seven. He says there are seven conditions before you can do it, and you have to do it very carefully. See, it doesn't become hefker. But till now, what we are speaking about is not where the purpose is to save someone. For example, by Doga Adomi, he didn't. Bring this information of what happened with David and Achimelech. He didn't bring this information to Shaul in order to save someone from getting hurt, or in order to save someone from losing their money. Say, what?
He threatened to kill him.
Who?
Shaul.
Shaul didn't threaten to kill his own men.
The Kohanim.
No.
If you don't tell me.
Doeg was the one who
accused the Kohanim of collaborating with David HaMelech.
The one who brought the Lashon Hara, the one who brought the Rechilus, was Doeg. Shaul said, won't someone Shaul said, won't someone tell me what's happened to David, where David is. So Doeg came forth with the information. That information was explosive. Now, there was no reason why he had to come forth with that information. other than satisfying the demands of Shaul, but that he didn't have to listen to.
One of the Kohanim.
See? What?
One of the Kohanim could have.
No, so then they would have never known anything. At any rate, that's a different that's a different angle from this. When one is confronted where he must speak Lashon Hara, if not, someone will get hurt. All right. Then there are other halachas on how to go about it. See. But we're speaking now where that's not the situation. Now, so the Rambam concludes where he says, "Kol elu him bale loshen hara she'asa lado bishkunasim." These bale loshen hara, one is not allowed to live in their neighborhoods in Koskein leishiv imohem. God came to sit with them, or to listen to their words. The Rambam at the end of Hilchas Negat Zaras, there he elaborates also on this mitzvah Loshon Hara, and he writes something interesting. He says that the cause of people speaking Loshon Hara starts with the type of people that you choose to sit with. And the type of people you choose to associate with. This is what Chazal tell us. In Oves Harchek Mishochin Ra, the Altiskabel Rosho. Distance yourself from bad neighbors or from bad neighborhoods, and do not become a chover, do not become a friend to a Rosho. This is, many people will say, well, it's so difficult to guard yourself from Lashon Hara. I was sitting in shul, and this is what they were talking. Or I was sitting at the brocha, and this is what they were talking. I was sitting at Shel Shudis, this is what they were talking. I was sitting at Chasna, this is what they were talking. And so forth and so on. Or I was playing golf with these fellas, and this is what they were talking. The Rambam says that the person is missing the point. The fact that you were sitting with these people, see, the fact that you were sitting in shul with these people, the fact that you were sitting at such a table with these people, that's where the Avera is. And he brings, and this is what our Chazal tell us, Harchek Mishochin Ra, V'Altis Kabel Rosho. And he brings from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I think he brings from Rabbi Lezer HaGodol, where he left over a tzavor. In his will, he wrote to his sons, never sit at a chabura where there's evil people, bad people. Because, he says, it'll be written down and they'll include you also, whether you're doing something or not. Just like to the contrary, it states that when there's a group of good people and they're talking Yirah Shamayim, they're talking mitzvahs, they're talking chesed, they're saying, look, so-and-so needs money, let's raise money, this is a widow and needs money, or whatever it might be. So there it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes it down. He writes it down, so he writes down everybody's name to remember that these are the ones who support him. So the Rambam says the key is the association. And he says that's why the person is stricken with the Negat Zaras, because this plague forces him. He says there's an Esu Pella. This, he says, we do not find this in any other mitzvah, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through a physical disease, forces a person to stop an Avera. Okay. He says, what is Negat Zaras? It forces a person to disassociate himself from others. Because when he was stricken with this, he had to go Chutz L'machana, outside the camp, Ubodad Yeshiv, and dwell alone. So he says, this is the key to it. Who you associate, who your friends are. Many times we hear this, that people have friends, their best friends, their so-called best friends, and they're Balei Loshon Hara. And they come back, and they always come back with problems, because I got involved with this Loshon Hara, I got involved in this Machlekes, I got involved in this. Well, don't go to these places and don't associate with these people. Go to places where they speak good things, and then you won't have this problem. That's why the Rambam writes here, "Kol elu hem bale loshen hara she'osa lodur b'shchenosam v'kosh kein leishi b'imohem b'nishmaya divrehem." These are people that one must avoid. These are some of the shorosi, some of our sources to these mitzvahs of Loshon Hara, and states Mavazu Chai Biyar HaLoshon, that just like the evil tongue packs such dynamite, it states also that the Baruch of Chaim, the Baruch of life, is also in the tongue of a person.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.